Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Getting settled here for hour number two of the program and just a little preview for the rest of the week. I mentioned Nick Mead, who will be on the show tomorrow, directed a movie about Clarence Clemons from the E Street Band. He has been not with us. I think he died 7 years ago this summer, which is sad, but his documentary is awesome and features some folks who have been on this show, including members of the E Street Band like Nils Lofgren, and President Clinton is even featured, who is a fellow sax player. So Nick joins me tomorrow. We have a roundtable on Friday with Jane Duker, Aldermanic Board President Lewis Reed, who was just here in the last hour, and Gene Evans, the executive director of the Missouri GOP. It's sponsored by the Better Business Bureau. So I always like what Clay Travis does on Twitter. He is with Outkick the Coverage. I actually don't know the background. Was he an ESPN guy to begin with, Dave? No? He rips on ESPN a lot, so that's probably something that would have been a bit of a surprise. But he talked about, and I don't know if this was at some sort of media event, but the audio got out there, about social media mobs and the things that happen with people on social media on a regular basis. And he brought an example up that I thought was interesting. And there's a local example that I will offer in just a moment as well when you think about some of these things. But he reminded me of a case from a few years ago. We talked about it here on the show.
And a sign that you should not believe the worst about people. I have been arguing for a long time that we live in an age when whatever happens is immediately grabbed, all right? Is immediately grabbed and people want to run with it and believe the worst about anyone involved. One of the first viral social media mob storms that led to a firing surrounded a headline from ESPN.com. During the Jeremy Lin insanity, a ESPN editor wrote, "Chink in the armor when the New York Knicks lost to a team during Linsanity."
All right, so you remember Linsanity, and he was going nuts, big story NBA, chink in the armor. We talked about it here. Everyone went nuts. It was racist. Wasn't this pre-Trump? I think it was pre-Trump, too. Everyone went crazy. It was a racist editor at ESPN. He needed to be fired. Take him out of there. This is outrageous, right?
People saw the headline, immediately said, "Oh, my God, this is a slur directed at Asian people." And the editor at ESPN.com was fired. He was stalked. It was a huge story. Jeremy Lin did not take offense. The better line would have been Nick in the armor. They may have used that before. Chink in the armor, obviously, is like something that somebody looks like they have, like they're indestructible, and then they end up with a chink in the armor and they end up leading to their destruction, right?
All right, so yeah, again, proper use of the phrase. I think we all are familiar, but if you use it in association with an Asian guy, and look, in retrospect, like Clay Travers said, yeah, maybe Nick in the armor would have been a little bit better, but in this situation, the mob went crazy. And you can never have a situation, I'll offer the local example here in just a moment, where people can take a step back and say, and it frightens me as a guy who talks on the radio every day because, and I tweet and I'm on social media, because it wouldn't take much at all. And by the way, we've had local examples here. Wouldn't take much at all, and I'm sure people are rooting for this to happen who are listening right now who aren't really fans of mine personally, for me to say something that's going to get me in trouble and maybe fired. Let me tell you something. If I treated someone the way that Chris Cuomo treated that person the other night, no matter the circumstances, if I'm dropping F-bombs and threatening to throw someone down the stairs and making a ridiculous assertion that the word Fredo is somehow, yeah, you should be fired just for that. To make the assertion that Fredo is the same as the N-word, all those other things aside from Chris Cuomo, whoever's running CNN should have said, "You know what, Chris, that's really stupid, dude. You know, we support you on everything else, threatening to beat the pulp out of the guy for calling you Fredo, but really, really stupid." But regardless, my point is, I could say something easily or tweet something. I try to be careful. It doesn't matter. Now, I think a lot of you probably are thinking of the local example. You know the local example? Kevin Steinkross. I was having a conversation about him last night. And Kevin, who I ran into a few weeks ago, is still in limbo. Fox 2 anchor, reporter, entertainment reporter, been around for many years. Kevin and I go back to our days in Columbia, Missouri, many years ago, 30 years ago. He's on the morning of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, MLK Day. I got to say MLK Day because I don't want to say what he said. And he simply slipped up. He made a pronunciation error. There was no ill will. There was nothing racist about it whatsoever. The frustrating thing about Steinkross's situation, he did absolutely nothing wrong. Zero. I mean, nothing wrong. Somebody raised this point last night, and I think it's probably accurate. You know, when he did that, it was early in the morning. It might have even been in the 4 o'clock hour, 5 o'clock hour. It was early. Somebody complained. It might have even been just one person who complained, and they went on with an apology. They crafted an apology, and he goes on around 9 o'clock saying, earlier this morning, I said something that was misconstrued, whatever the apology was. We didn't do anything wrong. If he would not have apologized for that, if they would have just sort of let it go, no one really had the audio anyway at that point. It would have been a non-deal. And in retrospect, he probably maybe even regrets that because this guy's been off the air for 8 months and who knows if he'll ever have a career again. Now, I got to be careful here because he doesn't really want me stirring things up on this. At least that's what he told me months ago, because he wants to see what the result is. But shame on Fox, shame on the NAACP for ruining this guy's life and his career. It is utterly ridiculous, and it has to do with the social media mob. Now, Kevin Steinkross is a decent, decent man. He, and I said this at the time, is probably, if you had to pick and choose the least offensive, least racist, least bigoted guys in media in St. Louis, Steinkross would come to the top of the list for many people who work in media and knew him for a variety of reasons. Personal reasons that I think people who know them are very aware of what I'm talking about. Not comfortable with sharing those with the listeners without Kevin's permission. But it didn't matter. And Fox 2, they're chicken blank, right? No guts whatsoever over there. And it's shameful. It really is. It's embarrassing. Clay Travis is starting to point out, or trying to point out, that look, a lot of times you jump on these things. The people who, and I like John Gaskin, who was in charge of the NAACP, who had to unfortunately get in the middle of this, and I disagreed with John because he felt like it was a legitimate issue. He didn't know Kevin Steinkross. I offered to get him together. That never happened because the issue was too hot. But you don't know what a person is really like in their heart. So going back to the story about the Jeremy Lin Linsanity and the chink in the armor, Clay Travis offered an interesting little, I guess we'd say this is like Paul Harvey's rest of the story.
Everybody loses their mind over this editor. Poor guy turns into a social media pariah. He's being stalked everywhere. He gets fired by ESPN. He goes into deep depression. And he ends up, to his credit, he ends up getting another job. And then he realizes, you know what my calling is? I wish I could become a Catholic priest. And so he goes into the ministry and he has now become a fully ordained Catholic priest. That is wild to have that trajectory of his career.
That is kind of wild when you think about it.
Utterly wild to see. Also a positive ending. I have been saying it for years, but why do we automatically assume the worst about somebody on social media? This guy may well end up being a great priest. He clearly is a pretty good dude if he's capable of bouncing back from this, and hopefully he'll be a good priest. But I always think that our mob justice system out there on social media assumes the worst about somebody. Good luck to that editor. I hope he turns into a great priest, and I hope it serves as further evidence of why automatically believing the worst about somebody is oftentimes not very justified at all.
Yeah, I think he's right about that. Now, look, you have plenty of examples on social media of people who expose themselves as what they really are, and I'm not going to say they deserve a mob to be on their, you know, tails at all time, because this gets out of control with people at restaurants and trying to have dinner. We know what has happened to even members of the Trump administration or now Chris Cuomo at CNN. So it happens on both sides. But it's disappointing. And I don't know how to stop it, because I think there's a lot of people out there that may even consider themselves pretty good people who get behind the typewriter, the keyboard, or, your phone on social media and feel like they can say any vile, ridiculous, disgusting, insulting thing that they can come up with. And it's worse than the commentary section in the local paper or any newspaper, because those are vile and disgusting places to visit in the first place. 316 at the Voice of St. Louis. A little bit later this afternoon, we had a little fun. We went around because I saw this Wall Street Journal piece from a couple of weeks ago that talked about mainly guys in New York, which is a little different than guys here in Missouri, right? Or in Southern Illinois, who are going to nail salons to get their toes done. Pedicures. So I went around with my phone, recorded some of the men here at Entercom St. Louis, including my producer Dave Klein and Fred Bottomer, and Kyle McClellan was in the building. So I asked him, have you ever received a pedicure? Not like the Robert Kraft type. Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll have those answers at 3:35 on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
Tell you that one of the more distressing, frustrating things about being a parent of a couple of college-age boys, one who is heading back to Mizzou tomorrow to be a sophomore, the other who just graduated, is that they apparently developed a love of socialism. And I wish I was joking about this, but I'm really not. And they, you know, I try not to engage. This is something that I've had to do with friends and family members across many decades now, because I talk politics and into all these complicated, controversial topics on the radio. So I tend to avoid that. And even with my kids, as my kids started to pay attention to politics, they get to Mizzou, probably the worst thing that could have happened. Unfortunately, they, you know, get caught up in all this nonsense that the younger people are paying attention to. And some of it'd be fine if they would educate themselves or know what they're talking about, but half the time they don't. And I remember seeing a picture that was up on Instagram, I think, or one of the social media accounts of my son with a group of friends in a climate change protest, which is fine, but there was a socialism sign in that particular picture. So I think I engaged slightly with him. I said, dude, what in the world? And there was, you know, some uncomfortable laughter, and then I didn't go on with any kind of speech or anything like that. But this is a serious issue, and I saw Greg Keller, who is a roundtable participant, a local political consultant, tweet something out about a group that is just getting started called the Young Americans Against Socialism. And a young woman named Morgan Zegers is with me this afternoon. She's the founder and CEO. I think it's an important effort. I'd like her to meet my kids, if possible. Morgan, will you do that? Will you meet my children and try to help them?
I would love that. And thank you for having me on.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited. We actually launch YAS tomorrow, so it's been a busy day.
All right,
we're hard at work.
You heard my intro here. This is one of those things, and I think there are a lot of people in my position as parents where we're shaking our heads thinking, what? You know, I want to tell my kids, you understand that it was good old capitalism that affords you that cool iPhone that you have that I'm paying for.
Exactly. And I really feel for you sending your sons off and then seeing them with the best of intentions, you know, trying to protect our earth and then getting tricked by the far left into getting pictures with socialist signs. But Young Americans Against Socialism is really trying to counter exactly that. We believe that those who do not learn their history are doomed to repeat it. And that's exactly what's happening with our generation, because a half of young Americans, more than half, would choose socialism over capitalism. It's crazy, and it's dangerous for the future of the country, and that's why we're countering that with educational videos about socialism on social media, where young Americans spend so much of their time.
So what is your, just back up a little bit, what's your background, and how did this come to be where you founded this?
Yeah, so I'm from upstate New York. It's very country, very rural, and very patriotic place. And so I'm very proud of that. My dad's a colonel in the military. He served in Iraq and on 9/11. And when I went to college, I went to American University in D.C., and I kid you not, one of my roommates one year was a communist. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily super political at the time, but I swear when I saw her poster on her wall of Castro and Lenin and Stalin and Mao and Karl Marx on her bedroom wall, it just showed me we are facing something that is very scary for the future, because she really thought that it was going to help people. That's the scary thing. She had the best of intentions, and she truly believed socialism would save this country.
Yeah, and that's where I think a lot of us were caught off guard here in the past couple of years, because there is a sincere belief and a hate. I think I would call it a hatred of capitalism because they believe that capitalism has destroyed a lot of things in this country. But where is there a nucleus of all of this that you can point
toward? Well, there's this really great book. There's a great book called The Road to Serfdom, and it talks about how socialist leaders over history have had to redefine words that we've always used in society. And so think about this. Bernie Sanders posted a video on social media that said, "Are you really free if you have to pay your health care bills? Are you really free if you have a lot of student loan debt? Are you really free if XYZ is expensive?" And what it's teaching them is that freedom is not freedom from an oppressive government. It's not freedom to make choices for yourself and to have the opportunity to succeed in life if you work hard. They're teaching them that freedom is having the power to have somebody else make your own decisions so that you don't have that stress. And it's that where they could say it's evil capitalism. That's why you have to have self-responsibility. And so hopefully we can counter that with these educational videos showing them, listen, socialism is going to lead to a very destructive life for you. And capitalism is why this country has succeeded. It's why it's lifted more people out of poverty than any other economic ideology in this world.
But why do you, Morgan Zegers is my guest, and Young Americans Against Socialism, or YAS, is gonna, you're going to kick this off tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay, so why do you think, because I love the effort. I think it's important. I would love to see some people educated on this issue. But why do you think that anyone will pay attention? In other words, the people who need to pay attention, why will they pay attention?
Exactly. And in our generation, I don't know if you've ever tried to talk to your sons and tell them just straight facts.
A little bit.
And telling them economic facts about socialism has failed every time, and you can't raise the minimum wage to $15 without jobs being ended and people being fired and hours being cut. That just doesn't really hit them in the heart. And so the left is so good at using emotion to their advantage, and that's what Young Americans Against Socialism is going to do. We're adding emotion to the playbook. And that's why we travel the country and film the stories of people who have escaped from socialism, people that were, you know, brutally attacked by police in their country for trying to escape. You know, they got on the government's blacklist once they were caught trying to come to America. People who starved, people who ate potatoes for a year. They have really emotional and sad and heart-wrenching stories.
Yeah, those are important
and that's
stories.
What's, you know, that the left does it so well. We're going to use these stories to our advantage to show our generation what's really going to happen. And that's why we need people's support, because we travel the country, we put these videos out, and they spread like wildfire on social media. But to make them be seen by millions of young Americans, we need support financially to get these videos on millions of phone screens across this country.
All right. How would you react to this? This is our friend AOC. And she was asked, this is an interview, some audio that I have that just took place on being a socialist.
Yet you're not afraid of being called a radical. I saw in 60 Minutes in your interview, you talked about Lincoln, you talked about FDR, that those people were radicals. Mm-hmm. Radical is not a bad word, you don't think?
I don't think radical is a bad word. Radical...
Is being a socialist a bad word?
I mean, I don't think so. I think... Ultimately, it all comes back down to the policies that we're actively promoting.
So one of the points that she makes, and I've heard some of the other Democratic presidential candidates make this even this week, Morgan, is that, okay, you want to talk about socialism. How about all the crony capitalism out there with, you know, corporate welfare?
Exactly. And that's what we need to show our generation, is that even with its flaws, capitalism is still the best option. The problem with the far left and AOC and Bernie and all the presidential candidates is that they continually say, we aren't talking about Venezuelan socialism. We're talking about democratic socialism. We're talking about Nordic European socialism. We can be like Sweden if we scrap capitalism because it sucks and we get socialism in the United States. But in fact, if we get socialism, we'll end up like Venezuela, like Cuba. If we keep capitalism and we look at Europe, they are capitalists. They are more capitalist than us. And they know they need capitalism to pay for their big government programs. There's a big difference between a country with big government programs that pays for it with capitalism and high taxes and a completely socialist economy. And right now, the far left in America is misleading our kids by promising we can be like Europe. Instead, we'd really end up being like Venezuela.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I could not agree more. And I'm going to ask you to share the website. Is it YAAS? Is it YAS.org?
Yes, yeah. YAAS.org, if anybody is interested in financially supporting this to change and save the future of this country from a future of socialism, please, we would really appreciate it.
Morgan Zegers, who's the founder and CEO of YAAS, I wish you luck in the endeavor because I do think it's important. Thanks for coming on this afternoon, Morgan. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Get ready for the Cards and Royals tonight. Amron Total Access 620. First pitch 715. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
So I saw this piece, Wall Street Journal, a couple weeks ago, caught my interest. It talked about how there was a bit of a trend. Now, mind you, this is New York City, so Manhattan, a little different than St. Louis, of men going to nail salons and getting pedicures. I got curious, went around to the staff here, lied to them and told them I was not going to use their names. In most cases, I think we did. Right, Dave? Like executive producer Chris Myhill gets us started. Chris Myhill, we're not using names. Chris Myhill, have you ever had a pedicure?
No. Proud to say, never in my life.
Why not? Is there a particular reason?
My toes are perfect as they are.
Have you ever had a manicure?
Nope.
Okay. Would you consider going into a shop and having a pedicure? Would that just be off the books because your toes look so pretty as they stand right now?
If you pay for it, I'll do it. Sure.
Really? You would if I get you in there and I'm not paying for it, but someone will find someone to. Believe me, you know me well enough. I don't pay for things.
I'm with you. I'm a cheapskate. I would not pay for it, but if someone's footing the bill, see what I just did? Yeah, I'll do it.
All right, I'll keep you posted on that. Have you ever gotten a pedicure?
No.
You never have?
Never.
Have you ever thought about it?
Not really.
Really? Would you do it, though?
Yeah, I would. Okay. I've heard like people say, I'm getting married in November, and I've heard some guys have actually said it's nice to do that a couple days before you get married. It like relaxes you.
Oh, okay.
So that's where the thought
Was that because of the Bill Belichick type of nail salon or a different theory there?
Although I did visit the Robert Kraft salon.
No, that's the one, the Robert Kraft. Uh-huh. I said, yeah. I threw Belichick under the bus and I met Robert Kraft. I couldn't think of it fast enough. You have been there. You went down with, when you were there for spring training. I forgot about that.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, it was closed, so I could not let that be my first experience in a men's salon or a spa. But for getting back to your question, maybe I would do it coming up before the wedding.
Okay, so you're open-minded.
Yeah.
Frank Ladd, we're not using names, but what's your name again?
Frank Ladd.
Have you ever gotten a pedicure?
I have not.
You have not. Now, would you? Because what's happening here is you got young guys in particular getting their feet in flip-flop shape for the summer, and it's happening more and more. I mean, they're finding nail salons packed with men. So anything you've ever given consideration to?
I've never considered it, but I wouldn't rule it out. It seems like something that could be pretty comfortable.
You know, everybody's kind of giving me that similar reaction, so I don't know why. I've only had one, and I went with my wife. I've thought about going back. It is a little bit uncomfortable, you know, because it's weird. You're usually in there with a bunch of women, but look, you know, your feet got to look good, right?
How often do you have other people touch your feet, though? That's the question.
Well, that doesn't often happen. I'm just going to be honest with you, right? So you're up for it. If we do a group Entercom St. Louis trip to get a pedicure, you're in, it sounds like.
Only if you bring them to the studio.
The question of the day here, Entercom St. Louis, is I'm asking the men this, have you ever gotten a pedicure?
Is this going out over the radio?
We won't identify you. So if someone recognizes your voice, Eric Nichols, then maybe you would be identified. But other than that, you know, you're okay.
Then yes, I have. Okay. I have. It was a special afternoon for me and my wife. We actually went and got a pedicure together.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
So you and I, so far, now I'm running through the staff here, are the only ones to have ever done it. I did the same thing. I went with my wife one day, reluctantly, I think, before a vacation. But after all was said and done, I was okay with it. I've never gone back, though.
I agree. I had a very similar experience. She wanted to do something special, had the day off, we went out, we had it, and I liked it. It wasn't that bad. I haven't gone back either, though.
So what would get you to go back? Is there anything that would get you to go back? Here's the consistent theme here today, if it's free.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, if it's free. But yeah, it was a good time.
I'm going to do to Kevin Kleen what he does to everyone. I'm going to stick a microphone in his face. How are you, Kevin?
Good. I just had a turkey sandwich and a piece of carrot cake.
So here's my question for the men of Entercom St. Louis. Have you ever, I'm going to take a stab, the answer is no. But, you know, we're going to test it out here. Have you ever gotten a pedicure before?
No, that's where you have your nails done, right?
That's when you have your toenails done. Yes, the manicure would be your fingernails.
Toenails and me, they go way back.
Do they really?
Yeah, the Killeens have very bad ingrown toenails.
There's a family history with this.
Yeah, I have to do self-surgery. It's like one of those Reader's Digest stories where somebody has to cut their arm off because it's trapped under a boulder in the wilderness. I say, clear the deck, and I'm getting out my tools. I have to remove an ingrown toenail.
Right.
About once every 6
months. But have you ever thought of, you know, well, but have you ever thought of just sort of leaving that to the professionals? That's what they do at, you know, at these nail shops. You know that, right?
Yeah. You know, if money were no object, I might consider that. But here at KMOX News, we have to economize.
So you're like the fifth person to mention money. We're such cheapskates, right?
I'm eating a brown bag lunch. I can't afford a pedicure.
Yeah, and you can handle a nail clipper, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Fair enough. All right. Here we go. We're talking to Fred Bottomer.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Although we're not using names. Fred, don't worry. We're not using your name. No one will recognize your voice, okay?
Okay. No problem.
All right. Have you ever had a pedicure?
No, I have not.
That's very consistent. Is there a reason for that?
No, I've just never... I just don't want people touching my feet.
It's a little weird, right?
It's too weird for me.
But what if it can make your feet look better? Do you wear flip-flops and sandals during the summer?
I wear sandals.
You do. So the toes are exposed.
The toes are exposed.
You comfortable with that even though you've never had a professional go to work on those toes, Fred?
I don't need it.
Well, that's a man full of confidence right there, Fred Bottomer.
Well, look who's here in the building today, Mr. Kyle McClellan. How are you?
I'm doing good.
So, I guess I spoiled the whole we're not identifying people's names with this bit, but here's my question I'm asking today. Have you ever had a pedicure?
What is that?
You go into a little nail salon and they take care of your toes.
No, I've never had that.
Did you really say, what is that?
I mean, I know what it is because I have a daughter and my wife, but I've never thought of that in terms of like...
A man.
Me getting that.
Right.
Right. So it sounded like a different language when you asked me.
Sure. Understandably so. I think that would be very common with other people. There was a Wall Street Journal article, the reason I'm asking, saying this is becoming more fashionable and trendy with younger men. And you're still a young man. That's very generous of me. But I think of you as a young man, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I don't. That's not trending in my direction.
Would you ever consider a pedicure?
If it was something involving my daughter, 100%.
Are you comfortable with your toes and the way they look?
I mean, nobody's toes are great, right?
Do you have toenail fungus?
No.
Okay, that's good. All right, thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Alex Rich from our sales department. I'm not using anyone else's name, but I'm going to use your name. Have you ever had a pedicure?
I won't lie, one time.
You hesitated there, though. You had to think about it. I've also had one time a pedicure.
One time. One time.
Can you explain the circumstances?
Circumstances were all-inclusive resort in Mexico.
Okay.
Had to try it at least one time. Gotta say, I didn't love it.
Why? What's you don't like people playing around with your toes?
I actually did the one where the fish swim around in the you know, the little... I don't know what you call it, the little foot bucket.
I didn't even know that was an option, but now I want one of those.
Yeah, and the fish, they like, I guess they suck the dead skin off of your toes. I don't know. It was kind of a funky thing, but man, like, it was kind of one of those things that you got to try it, right? I mean, if it's included in the...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Right.
Look, I'm not faulting you again. I've experienced one, but this has to do with people, younger people in particular. You're a pretty young guy that are finding their way into the salon, men, more often than before. So I think it's a thing. Now, do you wear flip-flops and sandals and things like that?
Never.
You do not?
I'm not.
Do you have toenail fungus? Is that why?
No, I don't. I like, you know, when you're below 5'4", you got to get a little bit of extra height, and the flip-flop doesn't give you that.
Oh, that's your motivation.
Right. You got to go with like a Nike Air Max or something that gives you another inch or so.
So it's not funky feet. It's just the height thing.
I can't say I love my feet, but I'm not, you know, I don't think that's the number one goal.
Hey, thank you for being so candid. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks.
I'm ambushing the men of Entercom St. Louis for this question, Charlie, today. We won't identify anybody's name, Charlie Brennan, but have you ever had a pedicure?
Yes.
You have had a pedicure?
Yes.
How many?
6 to 7.
Over the course of how many years? You're on the witness stand.
5 to 10.
Oh, okay. So you're not risk averse to doing them?
No, not at all. In fact, I've had manicures too. I once was in Oak Park, Illinois, trying to kill some time and getting a manicure. The woman said, do you want gel? I said, gel? She goes, do you want no chip? I said, yeah, I want no chip. And so she put on my fingers this gel that It was so bright, you had to have sunglasses on if you ever saw it. I'm walking around public for like the next 4 weeks, and it did not come off.
So you basically had nail polish on.
Very, very illuminescent nail polish, and you could see it from miles away, and it would not come off at all. And it kind of like grew off, you know? So all I can say is to the men out there, don't go for the no chip, skip the gel.
You know, that was, some people don't know this, but that was a precursor to Charlie's goth stage. And I think that was like 2008 to 2012. He wore black fingernail polish almost every day of the week when he worked here at KMOX. He's a man of mystery, I'll tell you that right now. So there you go. The men of Entercom St. Louis and their position on pedicures, even though some of them admittedly didn't even know what that was. Total Information PM is coming up at 4. We have an audio cut of the day up next after traffic.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And it is sponsored by the Good Feet Stores, supporting St. Louis Arches for 16 years, many, many times, hundreds of times, I would say, on this program over the course of the last decade. I have featured wacky things that people on the left have said that make us all sort of scratch our heads, even people on the left, I think. But every once in a while, and it does happen, I have to feature someone on the right who is insane, like Representative Steve King, the congressman who was defending his position against laws allowing abortion exceptions in cases of rape and incest, basically told supporters that humanity might not exist if not for rape and incest. I'm not making this up.
What if we went back through all the family trees and just pulled those people out that were products of rape and incest? Would there be any population of the world left if we did that? Considering all the wars and all the rape and pillage that's taken place and whatever happened in culture after society, I know I can't certify that they're not part of a product of that.
I am just left speechless, and that's certainly one that left me speechless. But it's your audio cut of the day. Total Information PM coming up next. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, I'm telling you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.